You're listening to Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel. We've got more live music in the studio for you today. My guest is Sarah Watkins. Sarah, welcome to JPR.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are in concert tonight, 8 o'clock at the Rogue Theater in Grants Pass. Chris Orlowski is opening that show. Newest album is called Sun, Midnight Sun. We should get that out of the way right up front. I want to start by talking about old history for you guys, and you probably talk about this an awful lot. Your history in Nickel Creek.
Yep.
This 18 years this band was together.
Yeah, we all pretty much just grew up in the band. But
I don't think people really realize that you were together as a band for nearly 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was 8 years old when we started playing shows, local Southern California shows and little festivals and street fairs and museum openings. And then we'd all compete in our respective instrument competitions that happened at festivals in the Southwest. And then we'd also enter band contests and it wasn't very good. You know, it was like the typical kids band thing. Lots of really fast tunes played with no taste at all. And,
yeah.
But it was great it was wonderful. And then as we got older, we just dug in more and more and did it.
Well, at a certain point, it did become great in the eyes and ears of many. Did you have an awareness at the time of how popular the trio or quartet, I guess, was becoming?
I know we all had these moments many, many, many times where you show up at a venue and there's a line out the door and maybe down the block.
And you think, oh, great, who's playing?
It's so awesome. I know, yeah. You think, is that possible? And it's a pretty great feeling. Or you are at soundcheck and you're playing this beautiful theater and you know that it's going to be filled. Mm-hmm. And to think that all those people are coming for you is stunning. And so you have, I had those moments many times, just disbelief, really. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the time, it's what you do, and you are working to get things better and fine tune everything and become a better band. In between those moments of exciting acknowledgement of like, oh, we're doing this. Like,
yeah.
Hundreds of people are coming to see us.
And speaking of band, you brought your band here today.
I did. I have a band. Well, part of my band is here today. We have a bass player, Tyler Chester, who is out roaming Ashland right now. But my brother Sean is playing guitar on this tour and most of the tours that I've done this year. So Sean Watkins is here as well.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. When you guys were young, were you able and allowed to play whatever music you were interested in, or were there outside pressures on putting you into a specific style of music?
Our parents were very offhanded. They supported us by abandoning family vacations and instead driving us to festivals. And they totally dug into that scene in that world. And it was what we wanted to do. We took ourselves very seriously, as kids do very often. So, we didn't really have any restrictions set on us by other people. And we just, part of the beauty of being a kid is you don't necessarily care if people, you just think they're wrong if they don't like you, you know, when you're a kid. And that conviction was great for us, I think, because we developed this great pack feel and became very tight and personally. And so we didn't have any, I mean, we're in bluegrass. What how big can the pressures possibly be? Except people might not like that you're not as traditional as they would like. That's really the only thing. But, you know, your kids, the people are going to be, they're going to be encouraging.
Yeah. Well, nowadays you and Sean are both pursuing solo careers. Chris Thiele's doing his own thing. Do you think you'll ever be back together as a trio?
Yeah, I mean, we might. It's a timing thing, really. We always said in the band that we would do it until it just didn't sound like the most fun thing. And we worked so hard on the last last 5 years of that band, but typically, but really the last, behind Why Should the Fire Die, we toured so hard and we worked so hard to write and record that record that it took a whole lot of energy out of us. And we just, it was the perfect time to put it on the shelf and just see what we would want to do outside the band without the restrictions of that instrumentation and that personnel. And it's been really exciting to see what everyone has done on their own, in their own time, playing with who they want to play, writing the songs and singing the songs they want to do. And you know, if we do get back together, I think we'll be a stronger band because of it, because we'll have these new things to draw on. We've sort of let, as we said, let the ground lie fallow for a little while. And so if that happens, I think it'd be really fun.
Sarah Watkins is my guest live in the JPR studios. What are you going to play first for us?
We're going to play a song off of that record. It's called You and Me. I remember the night. I remember the sound. I remember the light. When the moon came around, the night flowers bloom, the air so sweet. I remember you. I remember me. Central Valley sunshine will burn out of town, make your head all funny, so you stick around. Dusty roads make dirty feet. I remember you, and I remember me. I remember the night. I remember the sound. I remember the light. When the moon came around, the night flowers bloomed, the air so sweet. I remember you. I remember me. Wish I knew you now like I knew you then. For hours I'd just sit at your feet and listen. When I want to feel free, I remember you. I remember me. I remember the night. I remember the sound. I remember the light. When the moon came around, night flowers bloom, the air so sweet. I remember you. I remember me. Found myself at your place when I was out walking. I could hear your piano, and I swear I could hear you sing. And the joy we shared as we tarried there, I remember you, and I remember me. I remember the night. I remember the sound. I remember the light. When the moon came around, the night flowers bloomed, so sweet. I remember you. I remember me. I remember you. I remember me. I remember you.
It's Sarah Watkins live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Music from the new album called Sun, Midnight Sun. Your solo career of the three of you, the primary players in Nickel Creek, your solo career was the last to get started. Chris had released a couple of solo albums. Sean had released a couple of solo albums. Why the late start?
I just didn't have anything in mind that I felt was worth making a record of.
Really?
Yeah, like there's songs I like to sing, but I hadn't really figured out my voice in songwriting, and I hadn't really figured out my voice even. You know?
But you had written a lot of songs on Why Should the Fire Die.
we co-wrote a few songs, and I wrote Anthony by myself. But even then, my contributions to the songs were more of shooting ideas down than contributing actual lines. My contribution was largely, no, that doesn't make sense. We were doing this. What? No. But I wouldn't actually. I wasn't. My lyrical ideas, I didn't contribute as much as just editing, I guess. But, you know, I needed, in hindsight, I see that I needed an outside outlet to figure all that stuff out with. The Nickel Creek is a little intimidating. Like, Sean and Chris had started writing at such a much younger age, and I was behind. I needed to catch up to figure out how to write songs and figure out what I wanted to do outside of the band context, what my role would be, what I wanted. And lots of that happened through this residency that we've now had. Sean and I have a residency in Los Angeles. It's been going 10 years, and nearly every month we do this show called the Watkins Family Hour. And through that gig, I started to find my voice, both lyrically and just audibly. You know, I figured out how I like to sing and what I like to sing, and just experimented and found, just grew up a little bit there. And so because of that was my experience, I feel like everybody should be in at least two bands. If you're in one band and you're digging in, you need to be in two. You need to have a second thing that draws something totally different out of you. Maybe you're have more of a front role in one band and you're a side man in the other band, but you need to have that balance. At least I definitely did. I learned a lot, and I think because of that opportunity to do that residency without any pressure, you know, it was where I started writing, because I was writing for the players who were there in that room, musicians who would come sit in with us. I was writing for that context, with pedal steel and piano and all of that. It just opened, it broke down some walls that I had up that I didn't know.
How long ago did you start playing ukulele?
My friend made that for me, that uka that I've been playing, around the time of Why Should the Fire Die, and I wrote Anthony, which is the song on that record, is the first one that I ever wrote on ukulele.
I was going to ask if that made it a little easier for you to write songs.
Yeah, well, I have a way of beating around the bush a whole lot in conversation and also in songwriting. So, and a lot of times I would write lyrics, and I remember specifically on these flights where it's three across, and Sean and Chris and I are all sitting there, and everyone's writing and reading and stuff. And I would have this lyric that I was like, okay, I think I got it. I think I wrote a song, and I hand it over to one of them, and they'd be like, that's cool. I really like this line. I have no idea what it's about. and I couldn't understand that it wasn't clear what I was saying. It was so clear to me with all these things that I was alluding to, but not really saying. And so Anthony was my way of, not of just being as straightforward as possible, the lyrics and that. And so that was an exercise, and it ended up being a cute little song that I like to do.
Now that you've got a couple of solo albums out, how has it been different for you being the point person?
It's different in a way. It's now been about 5 or 6 years, and it's very comfortable. First couple of years was a bit of a steep learning curve, mostly for the behind the scenes parts of doing a show, the logistics of actually getting to a show and doing it and finding the people and all of the tour managerial things that had been taken care of in Nickel Creek. I now wanted to deal with it, and I was just starting over, so I was just doing everything in house, and I learned a whole lot, and that was the biggest difference. But I love doing this. I've really enjoyed making both those records and touring behind it, and seeing the audiences grow and repeat people who haven't known Nickel Creek even, but just have come across these records on their own. It's been really, really fun.
Here in the studio, you've got your brother Sean playing with you. Does it feel different when he's with you compared to other guitarists?
Yeah.
How?
Well, Sean and I have played so long together, and we have we live nearby each other, and we do the family hour together. There's a familiarity that I don't have with any of the guitar. I mean, we know so many songs that the other one knows. Like we could play for forever, and so that's really that's comforting when you're doing a show to know that you could go anywhere and they're right there with you. And also singing. Sean's one of my favorite guitar players, and especially rhythmically, and so fun to sing with. And then our harmonies have been, we've started to figure out how to sing together a little better over the last 5 years.
Finally.
It's been really fun.
Sarah Watkins is my guest live in the JPR studios out in support of the newest album called Sun, Midnight Sun. What are you going to play next for us?
This is a fiddle tune called The Foothills.
Sarah Watkins live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio's Rhythm and News Service. It's been a few years now, but I want to ask you about your appearance on Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah.
This was, depending on how you look at things, the only time in the show's history, at least in the last 20 years or so, there has ever been a guest host.
Yes.
How did you get picked for that duty?
I think I was just in the right place at the right time. Garrison's been really welcoming to me, and he's invited me on the show many times, and we have done this tour called the Summer Love Tour. We did it for about six weeks a couple years ago, and this last year I joined him for a few weeks of that, and he had some other singers out with him and for the rest of the tour. But on that first tour, I think he was, I mean, I don't know, I haven't asked him, but all I know is towards the end of the tour, he said, hey, I think it'd be fun to watch the show from the sidelines for a night. Do you want to, I think you'd be great at hosting. Would you like to do it? And I said, yeah, totally. So that was about 4 or 5 months ahead of the show that was planned in January.
Did you really have a sense of what you were saying yes to at the time? Like the workload and...
Yeah, I did. I did. I mean, he was pretty. He had a good idea of what he wanted to do. He said that he would. He didn't want to do anything, but he would do the Guy Noir stuff. He would write sketches, but I would sing the song. He had a very clear picture of what it would look like. I would choose the guests, and so there were about 4 or 5 months of just me not knowing how to prepare, like. How do I make this easier on myself? How do I start working on this? And what I ended up doing is I flew out to St. Paul a few days early and just spent the time with him, getting a better picture of the timing. Like, I would listen to the broadcast and be like, okay, so he does this many. This is when he goes to Powder Milk. This is when he right. does this. This is when he, and I listened to his old archives from the 80s that he has on, that they have on the website, and just trying to find out like the different forms that the show has had. And it was quite a good study. And, I was so nervous before the show. I was about to cry. I was so nervous. There was my friend, Abigail Washburn was there. I got her as a guest, and her mom was there. And I couldn't look at her mom, because her mom is the sweetest person. And I remember I was just like, don't look at me. I can't hug you. I can't feel anything right now, or I'll start crying. and then the show started, and it was great. It was really fun. And I think everyone, all of his audience was very surprised, but... you know, oh wow.
The reaction was generally good, right? For your guest hosting.
I don't know exactly, but it happened. I had a great time.
Well, there was talk then, and there has been talk in the ensuing years, as Garrison periodically announces that he will or won't retire,
sure.
that at some point they would be looking for somebody to step in or yeah. take over hosting some of the shows. Is that something that you would be interested in doing?
I don't know. That would be a life changing thing. Like, we would move to
He'd
like
be
that.
In
that
Minnesota,
like whoever.
Right? Yeah.
I don't think that ever is going to happen. There's nobody that can take his place. The show is kind of his brain.
Yeah.
The show is him. He writes the thing. And people don't tune in for the guests. They tune in for him, for what he says, the way he guides the show along, and for the sketches and all of that stuff. The music is great, but they want to hear it from his voice.
Yeah.
And that's why I listen to Prairie Home. I don't listen to it for some joker who's, you know, hosting it this week. I listen to it for him.
Yeah. Did hosting something that high profile give you a little bit more confidence in the Family Hour?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny, the Family Hour is the closest thing to it that I had done. So the Family Hour was the only thing that made me feel like I could do it at all, is because the Family Hour, we were hosting guests every month, and we put the show together. It's unique every month, but it's different. And because of the Family Hour, I thought, okay, like maybe I can do this.
You said before we went live that the Family Hour is available as a podcast.
Yeah.
Where?
It's on iTunes and then elsewhere for other people who don't. I don't know where people get podcasts other
Nerdist.
Than iTunes.
.com, right?
Nerdist. Yeah. The Nerdist.com is a Nerdist Industries is like a hosting site, but it's free.
How often do you do
on iTunes? There are 10 podcasts up right now.
There's 9 up.
Oh, there are 9 up. Yeah. We're working
There'll be a 10th one. Yeah, you know, we try to do it every month. It's tough, but there's enough. You know, if you're new to it, you can, you know, go through, and there's plenty of stuff there to listen to.
The last time you were out in our neck of the woods, I think you were in the Decemberists for a short time.
Yeah.
What was that? 6 months? How long were you on tour with them?
January. I flew out from Prairie Home Companion, from hosting Prairie Home. I flew straight to Portland and started rehearsing with them in January of that year. I think it was 2011. And we toured through August, I believe. Hmm. Maybe September. And it was so much fun. Oops. I'm so horrible.
You know, it's funny. It's actually kind of funny that the phone rang at that moment, because I wanted to ask you how you juggle your solo pursuit as band leader, Sarah Watkins, and being in demand playing in other bands like Decemberists. You know, people that
it's
are calling
so
you and say, can you be on my album? Can you play tour?
It's the best. It kind of goes along with my theory of you should be in more than one band. Is that it's unhealthy if you only serve one role, one purpose. And the nature of the kind of music that we grew up in is this community and supporting other people. And the best musicians, the most prized musicians in the field that we grew up in, you know, bluegrass and folk stuff, are the people who can really support other people well. And I'm so glad that I grew up in that community. And it still is, like, it's the best, you know? I mean, I get to go on tour, like, with the Decemberists. I played instruments I don't have any right to play, but they didn't know it. They didn't know that I couldn't do something, and so they would just ask it of me, and then I'd figure it out. And it was so much fun, and they were such great guys, and I loved being on that tour. And also, it gave me time to write Sun, Midnight Sun, because that was an opportunity for me to tour and work, but there was very low responsibility. Very few things were required of me off stage, so I could spend the days reading and walking and, you know, watching movies and sort of absorbing life again, digging into relationships again, and then have some things to write about.
What's the summer bring for you? What are you working on now?
I'll be doing festivals this summer. We're opening for Jackson Browne for a few weeks through the Midwest, and then playing a lot of folk festivals and getting ready to write another record.
Cool. Can we go out with one more tune?
Yes.
What are you going to play?
We will play a Feliz and Boudelot Bryant song that the Everly Brothers recorded. I worked this up. I heard it. I was sort of on an Everly Brothers bender and heard this song, thought it could be a little bit more obsessive and a little bit less healthy sounding. So we'll do this here.
You be afraid to love me, love me. Baby, don't you be afraid to love me, and I'll be good to you. Come to me, come to me. Tenderly, come to me. You're the one I love, you're the one I love.
It's Sarah Watkins live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Sarah, thanks so much for being our guest today. It's been a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having us.